Welcome to the Camp Randall Platoon Podcast. I'm James White, along with two of my former teammates, Badger football legends, Sojourn Shelton and Warren Herring, bringing out the helmet after the dub. And before we get into our game, we're going to check in with the guys. You guys tune into college football this weekend. I mean, it's kind of more of the same. It's college football season. I don't think there's one, you know, dominant team that's standing out in front of anybody else. So, you know, the first pod, Warren was saying, you know, we had a potential of going undefeated and all that stuff. I know we're not, you know, quite where we want to be just yet. But like I said, I feel like everything's still wide open for us. The Big Ten Championship, you know, the college football playoff, there's still a chance of everything for us. So I don't know if y'all tuned in any other games this weekend, but college football there's no dominant team that's stepping out in front of anybody else to me.
So, I mean, I think you look at the games that, you know, are pivotal for us. I mean, Ohio State don't look the same, man. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, obviously it's still early. Teams are still gelling and trying to get going in certain, you know, position groups and areas. But I want to say this is the first time that I feel like they actually look human and they look beatable. You get what I'm saying? And that's not to take away nothing from Notre Dame, because I left watching that game from the Notre Dame Ohio State game impressed with Notre Dame as well. Like, they got some pieces on defense and on offense. That running back group they have.
That corner,
right? Having 20. That was really cool to, like, you know, just having a task of playing, you know, who is, I'm sure to everybody, but like even to like former players, like Marvin is a generational talent and he's going to be successful no matter where he goes to the next level. So to see a corner like that take on that responsibility, like it's some teams out there that's impressing. And like you said, things are wide open, right? Yeah. Now, from our standpoint, we just got to take care of business.
Yeah.
One game at a time and then see where it takes us at the end of the year.
Most definitely. What about you, Warren?
I mean, it's just talking about the elephant in the room, Colorado, Oregon. Boy.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't going to lie, though. Colorado was going to beat them before the game started. But no, I thought Oregon looked good. Dominated that whole game, obviously, but excited to see how Colorado bounced back. So that's going to be fun. Alabama don't look the same either, which is different. It's hard to see. Man, who else is fun to watch? I'm trying to think. Whoa, Washington State. We talked about that on the test group. Washington State looked good.
They, like, I watched that game, and I'm literally like, bro.
They're good.
Wow. Like, and it's going to help. Honestly, like, it'll help us out. Yeah. You feel me? If they keep winning, and I mean, I want to say the Pac-12 right now is really hot. Like, just a bunch of teams like USC is playing good ball. Utah's playing good ball. Like, my Heisman pick, bro, is the kid from Washington.
Yeah.
Bro. He's lighting it up. You get what I'm saying? So it's a lot of teams in there that's gonna weed each other out because they're gonna have to play. But Washington State and what Cam is doing at the quarterback position, man, he's balling and he's fun to watch. You talk about fun to watch. It's actually, I won't say it's boring, but like Georgia is exciting to watch right now, right? Like.
They grind it out every week.
Yeah, like it just don't seem the same. So, college football, I think overall just everything with like
with the NIL
and all that stuff has even the playing fields for a lot of these other schools.
I think it's great for the game. Every game you watch, it's a toss up. Like even the teams that you would think be winning by 60, you know, the first 4 weeks of the season, it's a toss up each and every week. I think it's cool to see, but. You know, a lot of these teams that's joining the Big Ten next year, they look really good. So, Big Ten teams better get it right this offseason and this season rolling the next year. It's going to get dangerous.
I was going to say, what about for Big Ten, Iowa and Penn State?
Penn State from day one has looked like they've been rolling. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And I think what's impressive about them is they've always played good defense. And they've always been able to attack you in both the run game and the pass game. And nothing has fell off from that standpoint. Like, just even watching them now, they have to win a game running, you know, rushing for 200 yards. They got the running backs to do that. They got to win by beating you in the pass. They got the quarterback and the receivers on the outside to do that. So a team like that, you know, they're going to be a challenge to beat in the end of it.
For sure. I got a quick question. I was thinking about this last night. I meant to ask y'all. Like, for a team like Notre Dame, obviously they're not in a conference, right? They're not a part of a conference. They're independent. We're losing to Ohio State being ranked number six. Do they still have a chance to make it to the Natty, right? Because they don't have that conference game like everybody else does at the end of the year. So does that hurt them? Right.
Yeah.
Does it help them still? Because Ohio State was number six. Obviously, now if Ohio State loses again, it might hurt.
Yeah.
Depending on how they lose or whatever. Yeah. But a team like that, you know, obviously it's been different from in the past. But now that conference game is important. You got people moving conferences and things like that. But where does Notre Dame sit? Y'all think that they still got an opportunity?
I still think they got an opportunity, especially this year. Like I said, no team is you know, stepping out looking that much better than everybody else. And in reality, Notre Dame probably should have won that football game.
Yeah.
You know, against Ohio State, the defense came up with a huge stop for them on that drive when they were about to close it out. I really thought Notre Dame was just going to run it out, which they decided to throw the ball on. I think it was like second down on the screen. That ended up stopping the clock, and they tried to run it and ended up giving Ohio State. You know, you get that team too many chances, no matter who they got right quarterback, they're going to find a way. So I don't know what Notre Dame's schedule looks like for the rest of the season, but if Ohio State keeps winning, I feel like they'll be fine because they got some – they impressed me, man, because usually, you know, Notre Dame's that team you watch. They talk about them all offseason, the first few weeks of the year. Mm-hmm. They talk about them, and they play a real team that's – they look blah, but they looked all right. Yeah. The defense looked solid. They got a running game. The quarterback, I know he's been balling prior to the Ohio State game. The Ohio State held their own against him, but he's a veteran quarterback. Was he like 24 or something? He's like the oldest quarterback in college football, so that'll give him a chance. So before that, let's jump into the X's and O's right here. So big win for Wisconsin this weekend on Friday night under the lights. Everybody tuned in watching, you know, off to a fast start. You know, that's kind of what I've been talking about all year, especially offensively. You know, defense, some games they start a little bit faster than others, but offensively every game has been a slow start for us. So they come out, you know, this week or last week against Purdue, you know, first three drives, touchdowns, you know, had like an 8-play drive, a 10-play drive, a 16-play drive, all resulting in touchdowns going up. Pretty sure it was like 21-3 to start off the game. So I thought that paid dividends for us. So what was you guys' initial thought on the victory? I know it didn't quite – the third, like fourth quarter, it looked a little shaky, a little bit.
A little sketchy,
But they finished it out the way they needed it to. But what was you guys' initial thoughts on the victory this week?
I mean, I think it was a good dub. There's obviously some areas that – and we'll talk about it in a little bit – that we got to – continue to improve in, but I think it was overall a solid performance in you know, all three phases of the ball. Obviously, the offense being able to come out and, you know, first three drives, you know, punch the ball in the end zone is huge, right? Because that's 21 points that, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, we had a shaky second half. So being able to get out in front like that early and be able to kind of, you know, work through the mistakes in the second half is always helpful. But man, our defense, they, you know, I just want to give it out to those boys. They played good. Like the run game did hurt us a little bit because you know, we'll talk about that as well. But, and which is crazy is Warren, you said that too on in the week before.
Yeah,
you said,
you
spoke about it. But just to see our secondary, the way they played against a very solid group and a quarterback that is, you know, good and capable of making all these throws for those guys to, you know, be able to be in position and make plays. And, you know, I think it's something that we could definitely build off of moving into the bye week and then going into the following week after that.
Right.
But you
same. I was very happy with the way we played. Obviously, you know, second half, it was tough. It was tough to watch. You know, it gets to the points where, you know, teams start coming back. It's a home game for Purdue. They start getting some momentum. We got to be able to finish and close out games, which is what we did. We did. We closed out. We finished. So definitely I think that gives us another confidence boost. As Soldier One was talking about, like, run game scared us a little bit. You know, they think they ran for like 194. Even with us in rush yardage accumulated, and that's something we talked about in the last episode, was, you know, we got to watch out for the run game. Now it's just somewhere we're going to have to pivot as we move forward. It's another place of focus. You know, how are we going to get guys in better position to defend against the run, but also still be focused on the pass, because we're still going to be playing teams that are going to be throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game. Mm-hmm. But obviously can't sleep on that. But I was excited. Like, we had a lot of guys that, you know, especially on the defensive side, like, names pop. You know what I'm saying? Guys that probably didn't get a lot of playing time in the last few weeks, like Darion Varner, that transfer we got, had two TFLs. James Thompson finally got him a sack. You know, he's a starter, but you'd have some names we haven't heard in the past week. Caden Johnson got him a big sack or a big strip fumble at the end of the game to secure the victory. I mean, it's just names are starting to pop. Guys are starting to step up. So really looking forward to that as we continue to move forward.
And you kind of talked about a little bit, Soj, the, you know, the secondary. I thought this was probably, you know, their most impressive game so far this year.
For sure.
You know, coming to this game, Hudson Carr, the hot quarterback. You know, Deion Burks, what he could do. Yassine, mm-hmm. number two, the receiver that they got. They got some talented receivers. They were able to hold their own. Those guys, they had some good catches, some good plays. Those are tough matchups regardless of, you know, who they're going up against. You know, Ricardo Hallman had two picks. You know, Alexander Smith, like, he was matched up on Deion Burks a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Deion Burks won some of his battles, some of the plays. He was open. They couldn't get the ball to him and whatnot. But I thought he held his own, you know, against a guy who's very dynamic, who I think he has a bright future. I don't know. I don't know if he's a sophomore, junior, whatever it is. He definitely has the NFL in his future based on what he's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
I love what I saw from the DBs this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, like even, you know, the two picks for, you know, Ricardo is actually good to see, right? Like, that's three that he has in four games, and I hope, and you know, that he continues to build off that, because he can have, you know, you sitting at three picks, you know, like I said, in four games, that's your prime to have a good year. You get what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna play confidence. Some teams that are gonna throw the ball, and they're gonna give you, you know, more opportunities. And like you just said, like, confidence, that's what you know, it's always when you catch that first one, it's like, now you kind of got all the jitters out the way. Now everything can flow. And Alexander Smith, he played great too. Like, he should have had a pick as well.
Yeah.
You know, one of them that he, you know, he didn't come down with. But like, for those guys to play competition like how they just did, like we said, they got a receiver that's, you know, at some point is going to, you know, one day be on a, you know, NFL roster. To play guys like that and knowing down the stretch you're going to play more receivers of that caliber, I think is extremely big for those guys as far as confidence-wise.
Yeah, well,
you go ahead. I was going to say, I got a question for you. So it's like, remember freshman year, you had a big year. What'd you have? Six picks, seven picks, something like
four.
That?
Yeah, I had four.
Oh, you had four. I'm asking you up, bro.
I should have had.
But my thing is, like,
50.
You know, Ricardo Hallman has 3 and 4 games, right? Now you're going into a bye week, so you're not playing this week. Then you got a whole another week till the next game comes up. So you got 2 weeks before you play again. People are game planning you. Now they might not trade you as much. Now, how did you, you know, as a freshman, they probably tried you a little bit more as a freshman, but now that he's a little older. How do you mentally stay prepared and focused if teams aren't throwing your way now because you've been playing well, right? You're looking for that next pick. You're looking for that next opportunity. Like, what keeps you from gambling too much? What keeps you from, you know, getting too hungry for that next pick? You know what I'm saying? To just be focused and be in that mental space of like, okay, it's coming. I just got to be patient because now I got 3 and 4 weeks. People ain't trying to make it 6 and 8 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I mean, bro, I just think it all comes with, you know, just, you know, maturity. And then also just like the coaching group around him that he's like, you know, one thing that I would say was big for me, you know, I didn't have him my freshman year, but my senior year, I had, you know, Coach Leonard. And, you know, something that he always used to tell me that like stuck with me. And even like my senior year, I didn't get as many opportunities, but I was still able to come down with four interceptions. You know, he just always used to tell me, just being consistently close, right? Just be close to the receiver, because people are still going to try you. Like you said, we're at a level now where, you know, everybody feels like they have an elite talent at receiver. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going to like my guy against your guy. You get what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. if you are playing a team like Burks, or you're playing a team like, you know, Ohio State that has a Marvin Harrison, like, I trust my guy to make that play. So I'm going to throw it to, you know, I'm going to throw it to him. So you just got to be consistently close to make the, you know, give yourself an opportunity to make those plays. You know, I don't want the guys in our secondary to get too antsy. You know, even with some of the guys who might not be on in the books yet for interception, it's going to come. It's going to come. I promise you. You know, you just got to be close to the receivers. And then when that play comes, just make the play.
Shout out to that slight flex, four picks in here.
Oh, yeah,
why,
man.
Why he balling from the crib, man. That's why he's from South Florida. That's why he getting them picks, man. We talk about
is,
a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, yeah, that boy is from
yeah,
the crib.
Yeah,
that boy is from the crib.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We talked a lot about a little bit how Purdue kind of leaned on us in the second half with the run game. It wasn't Devin Mockerby. It was the back, Tyrone Tracy, kind of took over a little bit. He's an explosive back. He usually – kind of like their spark player, kick returner, punt returner. I know he had a kick return to the house the first week of the year, so he's mm-hmm. an explosive player. But
he's young too, ain't he?
I feel like he's like a sophomore or something like
Somebody's
that.
Somebody's got some talent at Purdue.
They got some skill players. Warren, what did you see that really, you know, caused problems for us? Was it the
the defensive front, linebackers, you know, sometimes guys being in the same gap or, you know, not being physical enough.
Yeah, I think it's being gap discipline. I do think they out-physicaled us a little bit up front, probably because it was something, I don't want to say what we weren't used to, but we haven't seen it. Like, we're playing against teams that throw the ball a lot. And we got linebackers that can move. A lot of people have been testing us on the perimeter, not really been running it in between the tackles. But I think that's one of the things that probably shocked us is just because now we got to make sure that we're being gap sound. We got to make sure we're not overcommitting, you know, trying to jump into somebody else's gap. It's that step thing where they say, like, DYJ, you know, do your job.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to stay focused. We got to stay in our gaps, play with our hands, low pad level, stuff like that, just to make sure that, you know, we're not getting dominated up front. Because I do feel like, you know, this past week, we're dominated a little bit front versus the run. You know what I'm saying? But definitely gap assignment for sure.
Yeah. And that's one thing for me. You know, Purdue is a team who struggled, you know, running the football probably up until against us. Mm-hmm. So when you face teams like that where you are pretty much handling their passing game, I feel like we can't allow them to get confidence to lean into something that's really their weakness, was running the football. We can't, like, we'll talk about it a little bit. We play Rutgers in 2 weeks after the bye week. They're a team that's not great at throwing the football. Yeah, we're going to come into the game, probably stack the box, try and eliminate the run game. Mm-hmm. Can't let their quarterback, Gavin Wimsatt, go out there and sling the ball for 250 yards because coming to the game, we're like, oh, they can't throw the football. So I feel like we really got to do our best at, you know, not allowing teams to do the things that they're weak at.
And for sure.
I feel like they kind of let that slip up a little bit. It's going to happen. You're not going to be perfect every single week, but definitely got to take advantage of a team's weaker spots. Let's move on to the offense a little bit. You know, the passing game is still kind of hit her.
On the offensive side of the ball, I'm just curious from your perspective, like, what you think is, like, I don't know, what do you think that we have to improve on, bro? Because, like you said, the passing game, bro, is so iffy, and it shouldn't, it shouldn't be as iffy as it is, especially with the weapons that we have on the outside. Like, what do you think is the drop-off?
To me, it's kind of hard for me to pick one thing. It just seems like the timing's just off between, you know, Tanner and the receivers. Sometimes he gets to the top of the drop. You know, maybe a guy's not open. He got a hitch a couple times. Then he eventually throws it, or, you know, nobody's open. He's trying to scramble, you know, make a play. But, I mean, there's some times where, you know, when he hits the top of the drop, he gets it out. They make a play. I just feel like the receivers aren't necessarily creating as much separation that, you know, that I think they really can create, especially against a secondary like Purdue. Like we kind of talked about last week, they really struggled in man-to-man coverage, but I feel like they did a decent job on, you know, our receivers, even on a lot of the catches that they made, those guys weren't too far off from making, you know, some of those plays. So whether it's just, you know, finding the routes that some of these guys run best, allow them to, you know, go out there and run those routes to the best of their ability. Once again, had a couple of drops too.
Skylar
Bell, man, I need you to make those catches, my man. It's twice this year so far. I know they're tough, but there's only so many opportunities you're going to have to make those type of plays. Probably once or twice a game, unless you're probably playing a little bit of a lesser opponent or they blow coverages where you're going to get behind the defense like that, have a chance to score a 40, 50-yard touchdown. We got to be able to hit those. Because I think those are plays that if we hit the rest of the game, I feel like they're gonna get clicking, because the defense are going to start to get a little bit more scared. You can hit a team for a 60-yard touchdown, then those in-breaking routes, those intermediate routes, those underneath routes, they become a lot more open because defenses are afraid, you know, to kind of give up those big plays. So I think that's going to be huge for this team, just building chemistry in that passing game. Like I said, the running game has really been solid. You know, it hasn't been perfect every single game, but they've really leaned into it, you know, in the second half of football games against Purdue. It would work early in the game, and it worked towards the end of the game as well. So if that passing game just can get going, I think that'd be very helpful for us. And, you know, kind of talking about the passing game too, you know, with Tanner, his performance, I thought it was decent once again. It wasn't, you know, overwhelming. He didn't go out there and shred the defense up. He used his legs. Obviously, Syracuse, you know, destroyed Purdue the previous week with the running quarterback. So I knew the runs were going to be there. They ran a lot of QB keepers. He had a running touchdown. So I knew that was going to be there. But like I said, I would love for him to get in a better rhythm with the receivers, you know, get the ball out of his hands, not have to be running around. Because he took some shots against Purdue.
Yeah.
He kind of put his body on the line.
Can't keep taking those.
Yeah, we're going to need him throughout the entire season. Because like I said, without
without him to this point, we very well could have lost, you know, maybe one or, you know, two possible games already, you know, this season. So for me, he just has to build that chemistry. Him and Phil Longo or the receivers got to, you know, figure out what they can do to get that passing game going, which I think this bye week, you know, will be very helpful for that. But also a big thing, you know, Chez Mulusi went down. Yeah. It was very tough to see.
That was tough. Yeah.
He's a guy who I thought was a catalyst for this football team, especially this year. He was a spark plug. Sure. He won us a football game earlier in the year, breaking off that 90-yard touchdown. Been banged up, you know, pretty much his entire career getting to Wisconsin. And it sucks, man. I know some guys just really, you know, have some bad luck when it comes to injuries, and he's been one of those guys. And it's tough for me, man. I got, you know, I have a little text thread with him and, you know, somebody that we know from Wisconsin, and just checking in on him throughout the season, just checking in right now to make sure everything is cool with him. But it's hard to see him go down, man. It's the offense. I think the entire team was really going to need him this upcoming season. I'm some kind of wonder. I know we got Braylon, a special back, but we're going to need somebody else to step into that void. I don't know who's going to be that guy for us. We obviously know how important the run game is. I just wonder who's going to emerge, because I feel like that's a huge piece that we're going to be missing.
Huge void, you
know,
for sure.
Along the, you know, the back half of the season when, you know, yeah, you get into November where that run game really starts leaning on teams. I know Braylon really can do it, but there's going to have to be somebody else who can spell him where there's really no drop-off. But Chez was that guy for us.
Was that guy, for sure. And that's what I was going to say. Like, a lot of the load is going to have to fall on B.A. And yeah, just, you know, I think all of us knowing the type of person that he is, I think B.A. is up for the challenge, and I think he's going to crush it, right? Like, yeah, obviously somebody else is going to have to, you know, step in and get some more snaps, and, you know, we'll find out who that is, you know, here in these next couple weeks. But it's just going to be, it's going to be really, I'm trying to find the words, it's going to be really important just to see, like, yeah, you know, how we try to, you know, phase that east and west part, yeah, of, you know, Chez's game and getting to the outside and being able to, you know, beat the ends and the linebackers on the edge, how we're going to, you know, fill in that void. Because, I mean, Chez was a huge part of his offense. Like, I mean, at some points he looked, you know, I don't want to, but he looked more important,
yeah,
than B.A. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, obviously B.A. is the bell cow, and he's the person that makes the offense go. But I just think Chez has so many, you know, opportunities plays, and times, yeah, where it's like this offense is flowing through one. You get what, yeah, I'm saying? And, you know, as far as the run game, like, I don't really too much worry about that, because, you know, in my opinion, we do have one of the best backs in the country, and,
yeah,
you know, he can do it all, right? He can beat you. He can, you know, burn you for 60. If he needs to, you know, put his head down and get 3-4 yards on a third and short, he can do it. You know, so I'm excited to see, you know, where it goes with that. I think, you know, what's extremely frustrating to watch from the offense standpoint is just like you said earlier, just the disconnect. I won't say disconnect, but just not being able to hit on certain, some of those plays in the receiving game, because, you know, I think we all know as the season goes on, right, and we face some of these teams that are going to stack the box no matter what, the Ohio States, teams like Iowa, right, that,
yeah,
you know,
they
got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to show them, right?
If we
could throw the ball. Yeah. And, you know, even though Iowa, not talking too far down on certain opponents, but, like, even though, you know, there's games where you play certain opponents and you guys know each other so well that, you know, no matter what's going on, whether they're losing 30-0 or whatever, like, whenever they play, whenever we play them,
it's going to be hard.
It's going to be a tough game no matter what. And, you know, I mean, I don't know why it's like that, but, like, there's times where we had better teams than Iowa, or we had better teams than Minnesota, but they always kept those games close. So the passing game is going to have to improve, man. Like, I'm looking at it right here. Like, you know, Tanner 17 for 27, you know, 174 yards passing. Like, right, like, not that that's not good, but I just don't think it's going to cut it. And, I mean, we have the guys to do it. You know, obviously Skyler, you know, let, you know, two balls get away from him this week. But, you know, what I'm trying to understand is, why don't we throw the ball more to DK, right? Like, I feel like every time that we've thrown the ball to him, he's shown why he should be getting more targets, because that kid is special, man. And he had, you know, he can get separation. And if he doesn't get separation, he can make the contested catches. Like, those are all the qualities and things that we need to see from a top guy on the outside, and he's showing it. Throw him the ball, man. If it's incomplete, it's incomplete, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we got to keep giving guys opportunities to show why, you know, they can be really good.
Sure.
What about you, Warren? What do you think from the offensive side of things? Yeah,
I agree. I'm not worried too much about the run game. Like, I know that Braylon can put it on his shoulders. Braylon can carry the load. He can get the job done. You call his name, he's going to do it. Like you said, I'm worried about the pass game. I think it's a lot of confidence, too. In my opinion, I think it's confidence, you know, between quarterback and receivers. He's throwing the ball to him. He's spreading the ball out very nicely. But it's those deep balls. Like, I would love to see us take more shots because we've seen our guys be able to separate, especially on deep balls. We have athletic, big, long, rangy wide receivers. Let them go get it, but the receivers also have to come down with it. Like we talked about Skyler, got to come down with those two that we've dropped so far this season that could have been touchdowns. More, you know, would have been touchdowns.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what kind of kills the confidence a little bit when, you know, your receivers aren't catching those and getting those big plays like that. You know, so I definitely think it's going to be building that relationship or growing the relationship between Tanner and the receivers. And Chim, love watching Chim. I like watching Chim every week because the boy is reliable. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to go up for it. He's going to be aggressive to the ball. You know, he's going to have some yak, and he's going to be reliable when you need him. So definitely take more shots to Chim. Throw it deep. Let him run. He's fast. He can get some separation. Mm-hmm. He's reliable with his hands. So I think it's a little bit of confidence and just, like you said, building a relationship between a quarterback and receivers for us to be able to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, I talked about it last week a little bit, you know, who was kind of going to be the guy in the receiver group, that reliable target on 3rd and 5 or for the game. It's definitely, for me, it's definitely right now, Chimere Dike. I mean, he has been that guy for us the last, you know, 2 years, the last coaching staff. And I think he should be the featured guy, you know, for this offense in the passing game until, you know, a lot of these other guys can get going. But now let's jump into the scouting report. So right now, you know, we're at 3-1, sitting in a decent spot right now. I think we're in a solid spot, you know, pretty early bye week. I think that can be good. I mean, it could be bad as well. I mean, we'll see how it affects us, you know, down the line. You never know, you know, how that early bye week is truly going to affect you. But do you guys think this team is in a solid spot right now? We're sitting in first place in the West. I mean, the West is, I mean, it's kind of a disaster. There's no team that's really jumping out, you know, in front of the other. It's going to come down to the wire, in my opinion. Probably going to come down to the last game in November. I'm sure a lot of these other teams will get better throughout the year. A lot of teams have new quarterbacks trying to find their identity, especially on the offensive side of things. There's a lot of teams struggling to score points. So you guys think this team is in a solid spot right now going into this bye week?
Yeah, I think we are. I mean, 3-1 is not bad at all, right? And the game we did lose to, obviously, that team they're playing some really, really good ball right now. And we were in a tough game. We were in a competitive game with them. Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, overall, I'm a little disappointed that the bye week is so early, man.
So early,
I don't think people understand how important that week off is to just, you know, be able to, you know, relax and, you know, recuperate, get your body back, you know, get guys back healthy, you know, give your body a rest. So for it to be this early, it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, we're definitely in a good spot right now as far as to, you know, our goals, of which would be to, you know, play in the Big Ten Championship in December.
But you want to think the team in a good spot right now?
I do. I think we're in a good spot going into the bye week 3-1. I do, like you said, I think it's hard having a bye week this early because now you got 8 tough weeks of Big Ten football, you know, to finish the season. And as you get later in the season, body gets worn down, you get a little tired, so... But I think that's a good thing for us because now we're going to figure out how tough we are, right? We're going to figure out how mentally tough we are, how physically tough we are. Because in recent past, in history's past, we've done really well in the back half of the season. You know, end of October, going through November, we've done some really good football. We've been able to outlast people. So it's good. It's going to be good to see if we can continue that. I do think it's nice being in a bye week because now we can kind of reassess how we're going to start attacking teams, how we're going to play teams defensively. We get 2 weeks to do that before we come into another Big Ten test against Rutgers, who is a good team, you know, but it's a game we should win. You know, don't want to speak too far ahead, but it's a game we should win. But that's a nice opportunity for us to just reassess what we're going to do on offense and defense coming out of these first four games. So yeah. I think we're in a good spot, a chance to just sit down, think about it before we come up and play Rutgers, and then put our seatbelt on and get ready to roll for 8 straight weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're in a solid spot right now. Like, you would love to see the bye week probably be later on in the season, but I think it's kind of good, especially, you know, for these younger backs. For me, like, this week of prep, you know, this week, I mean, who knows how intense they're going to take it, but I think they're going to see which back is going to step in and kind of be that second string, or maybe they'll have, you know, two other guys kind of fill in for Chez. I think this is great for them to see who's going to step up to that challenge. And I think they sit in the great spot in the West. It's in the great spot in the Big Ten. For me, I thought it was huge that the offense got off to a fast start. Like I said earlier, I thought if they got off to another slow start again against Purdue, then I'd be a little bit kind of concerned going forward. But for me, they took that adjustment. I think, you know, something that Luke Fickell probably talked about, you know, throughout the week, and they went out and accomplished that to me. And I feel like the chemistry of this team will continue to build. They get some guys back healthy. They'll feel rejuvenated. It's going to be a long 8 weeks, you know, getting the Big Ten play. It's going to be physical. It's going to start getting cold. Guys are maybe some more guys are going to end up getting banged up a little bit. So it's going to be an important time of year. But like I said, I think they're in a very solid spot. Do you think this team has found, you know, kind of their identity on, you know, how they want to win football games? Or do you think that's kind of still in question? They're still trying to figure it out.
I think we're still trying to figure it out, man. Yeah. And I mean, like, and I don't say that as if that's a bad thing right now, but I mean, like I said, we've been saying for so long that we needed to start fast, and we start fast, but then we let our gas, we let the foot off the gas in the second half of this week. And then in past weeks, we've been starting very, very slow, and we've been hammering up in the second half.
Trying to put the foot of the gas at the end.
At the end, right? And, you know, 1 week it came to bite us, you know, in the behind. And then, you know, the other couple games that were, we should have blown those teams out. It was kind of like a nail biter, you know, in some of those situations. So we still haven't played a complete four quarters of Badger football yet. And I do think it's coming, right? Like, to the start that we had this past weekend was what I think all of our fans, I think what everybody truly wanted to see. Now it's just a matter of taking it and doing that in the second half. But like we talked about a little bit earlier, like, just us being able to, you know, be successful in the passing game and the run game, and then on the defense side of the ball, being able to, you know, hold our end up on the run game, and then being able to stop the passing game, right? Like, when we figure out the best ways to put our players in those positions and what everybody's successful at, I think that's where we'll be like, you know what? Okay, we found our identity of what we can be able to do to attack these teams. Because like Warren just said not too long ago, you know, this is a great week for us to assess all the other guys. Because, you know, we all know, like, when you get into like week five, week six, like that middle area, the plays that you are is what you are.
Yeah.
Like, the plays that you're going to be out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for the guys that haven't figured it out, those are the teams that are going to struggle. And then you're going to start to see, you know, you can start to see the teams that are, you know, they're coming along and they're starting to make the plays. And that's what's going to catapult them, you know, to that end, the finish line, you know, heading towards the end. So, you know, I think we're close, but we still got to, you know, touch up on a few more things.
What about you, Warren? You think the team has found its identity and found their way to win football games just yet?
No, I don't. I think that's a good thing because I'd rather be a team that has the weapons and have been able to show that and are still figuring out their identity than a team that doesn't have it. We haven't shown anything, and we're trying to figure out what our identity is. We've been winning, and we've had some mistakes here and there, but like, we have potential. We have the weapons to be able to make plays. Like, we know we have the receivers to do it. We know we have the running back to do it. We know we have the guys on defense. We've seen it. We had a big week against Georgia Southern. We had a big week last week on the back end. So we have a lot of different ways we can attack teams, and figuring out what our main identity is, I think, is a great problem to have right now, especially with the way we're playing. It'd be different again if we're, you know, 0-4 or 1-3, and we haven't figured out if the run game or our passing game was going to be our bell cow. Like, that would be, I'd be less excited being in that position. I'd be upset, right?
Yeah.
but you know, being in a position that we are, it's nice that we have options. We have the playmakers, and now we can take this bye week to figure that out before we go and play a good Rutgers team.
Yeah, for me, I think the defense has kind of found their identity, just kind of keep everything in front. I don't think we have a TJ Watt or a Nick Herbig on the, you know, rushing the passer. So I think it's kind of, you know, rushing the quarterback by committee, just containing, crunching the pocket. You know, they did that to Hudson Carr a little bit, but they didn't necessarily get the sack all the time, but, you know, ruffle his feathers a little bit, get him, you know, a little off kilter, make him move his feet and kind of rush the passer that way and create turnovers on defense. I think that's going to be their calling card. It may not be the 20 sacks, 30 sacks defensively, but just contain the quarterback, because that hurt us earlier on in the year, especially in Washington State.
Gotta figure that out.
So crunch the pocket, you know, make it tough on these quarterbacks, you know, send some blitzes. I love what I saw against Purdue. They ran that double mug against them, but eventually Purdue, you know, their way of stopping that was running the football against them, which double mug isn't a great look, you know, to run against running the football team. Right. So they kind of figured that out. So got to make an adjustment when it comes to that. But I did like from Mike Tressel how he started to heat him up, create some different looks, because we haven't seen that look from the defense so far this year. It's been, you know, fairly passive. They sent blitzes, but I thought they were real aggressive against Hudson Carr in that defense. I think on offense, I don't think they've quite figured out their identity just yet, and I don't think there's a problem with that whatsoever. But I think, you know, 2-3 weeks down the line, we're going to have to get that figured out 100%, because, I mean, Soji, you were kind of talking about it. If you're a team that's, you know, doesn't really have an identity, don't have it figured out on offense, come, you know, middle of October,
it get tough.
Probably not just,
it
you're get probably hard, just yeah. not a good offense. So
they're
going to have to get that thing going and figure it out. Like I said, got to get these receivers going. Allow Tanner to get more confidence. I think he's a confident football player. I just think they're just not on the same page when it comes to everything. And it's perfly fine at this point, sitting at 3-1. Like I said, there is no problem. In my book, they just have to get it figured out, you know, rather sooner than later when you start facing, you know, some tougher defenses and some tougher offenses that are going to score a lot of points or have the potential of scoring a lot of points. So, you know, after the bye week, you know, we go up against Rutgers. I don't know if you guys watch, you know, much of Rutgers, but I'm high on this football team. Some fans got after me on Twitter a little bit.
Oh yeah, I seen it. But
talk about me that
I ain't gonna lie, fam. I was about to jump in, bro. I'm like, man, no, I seen it.
I know they got beat up a little bit, you know, by Michigan, but I thought it was mainly because of their offense. They got off to a hot start against Michigan. They went up 7-0 on like the second play of the game. Then their offense didn't really do anything throughout the entire game. But their defense, man, those dudes attack. They go after the football. They make it tough on you in the passing game. They make it tough on the running game. Like I said, they have some guys who can rush the passer. They got some DBs that know how to, you know, jar the ball loose. Every pass that, you know, Michigan caught this past weekend, for the most part, it was contested. They're going to make you work for everything on the defensive side of things. You know, defensively, I feel like we'll be just fine. I don't think they're going to score many points on us. Just have to really stop the running game. That's what they're going to lean into. Another mobile quarterback. He's a tall kid. He can, you know, he's going to drop his shoulder. He can break the long run. So it's going to be a challenge for us, especially offensively. Like I said, if we're not able to run the football on them, I think it's going to be a great challenge for the receivers, because their DBs are very solid, in my opinion. And this team, I said they were undefeated prior to going up against Michigan. I thought they held their own. Their offense just didn't help them out. So it's gonna be a good matchup. Like I said, it's gonna be, you know, very important for me. You can't let a team like this jump out in front of you and play catch up, and then they lean into the running game. So I don't know what you guys thoughts about the game coming up in 2 weeks.
I cannot remember their head coach's name.
Greg Schiano.
Because I know he coached in the NFL, and
the
NFL didn't work out for him, but he was always known for having strong defenses.
He's
always known for having strong defenses. And that's something that you brought up, which is extremely important, right? Like, if a team gets out in front of us with us having to play chase, like, I think that's another thing that we haven't seen from our team yet, which is going to come, especially in our conference that we play, is those 17 to 14 type of games. Like, can you make just enough plays to get you out of those games, right? And those are the tough games that we're going to have to, you know, that we're going to be in, and that we're going to have to capitalize and win. Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to be the case with Rutgers, but I just think, just overall, like, looking at the big picture and ways that you have to get through the season, like, you just gotta know how to win in certain situations. Yeah. And right, and Rutgers, the way that their team is playing, I won't say it's gonna present us problems, but how they go about winning the games and how they go about like executing certain things. Like, I think it's going to show us, you know, we're going to be put in some situations where we're going to have to like, guys are going to have to make plays and win, because like you said, right, their offense isn't really high powered.
Yeah, it's not dynamic.
It's not dynamic, but the run game is extremely important. And when you play against a defense that's so solid like that, right? Like, they're solid against the run game and they're solid against the passing game. It's going to put you in situations where if your defense starts slow, that you're going to be playing catch up, and you do not want to be in that position in these games going on with our conference.
Yeah. What about you, Warren? I know it's a few weeks away, but what do you think about this matchup?
I think it's going to be a good test for us, especially coming out of this bye week when we do get that opportunity to reassess. I think we're going to see some good things in this bye week out of a lot of young guys. I think this is a good opportunity for young guys, but it's also a good opportunity for some big on big, like ones versus ones. Yeah. You get a couple more of those practices in where against guys that know how you play, guys that know you. And I think those are some of the best weeks that I've enjoyed, is being able to play big on big, good on good, you know, ones versus ones.
That's what we used to.
I mean, I think it's going to be a tough matchup again, like we talked about with the defense versus our offense, figuring out what that identity is. We don't have Chez, you know, unfortunately. So it's going to be nice to see who steps up to spell Braylon. I think he's going to carry the load, and I think he's going to do a great job, and I think we're going to lean on him in that week. But from a defensive standpoint, I think we've been doing a great job getting better every week. And I'm not worried too much about that side of the ball. I'm not saying I'm worried about offense, but I just think we're going to see a lot. It's going to be a good challenge for our offense to go up against a defense that is usually pretty good every year, especially with the coach that they have.
Yeah. And I think we talk about identity. The Rutgers team, they know their identity. They're going to play tough defense, and they're going to run the football. So that's like what I kind of talked about earlier, like a team that's not very good at throwing the football, can't let them throw the football on us. You got to try and make them one-dimensional, you know, force Gavin Winsett to being a drop-back passer and try and create those turnovers. So I think that'll be the key to the game against Rutgers coming up. Now let's jump into what's the word on campus. So word on campus is bye week. I mean, we're kind of far removed from college a little bit. I mean, I don't know what y'all used to do on y'all bye week during college. I know for me, I probably just, obviously the week of practice, you just hope coach, you know, wouldn't go too hard.
Show some love, coach. Come on, man.
Show some love. You know, it's early on in the season. Yeah. You know, so guys kind of still fresh. College football is 100 guys on the roster, 100-plus guys. So probably a lot of younger guys getting a lot of reps. Mm-hmm. I say those backs, they're probably going to throw them in the ringer this week to see who's going to step up and, you know, kind of take on that role. The passing game, I feel like they'll try and work on that too. So, you know, from what I've seen during training camp, I feel like they're going to do a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of, you know, individual matchups, because I think that's going to be huge for the football team throughout the year. Because a lot of times that's what it comes down to, winning those individual matchups, you know, receivers versus corners, you know, D tackles versus guards, defensive ends versus left tackles. I feel like the offensive line needs to step up as well. I feel like they haven't been in the passing game. I know it's probably different schemes than what we've, you know, normally, so it's a little bit of a challenge. But I think I need those guys to step up, especially, you know, coming up. You're going to be playing two really good defenses, Rutgers and then Iowa. Iowa defense, they ain't got no offense right now. But that defense for real. Them boys definitely going to make it very tough on us.
But that offense is good, too. They got that quarterback transfer from Michigan.
From Michigan, and a tight end from Michigan.
I know they played Penn State, but the offense, they lost their best weapon at tight end, Lachey. That was their best weapon at tight end. Uh-huh. Other than that, they haven't had a receiver with probably like more than two catches all year long. So.
But here's the thing, we say that, but when they play us, that goes out the window.
I've been in my tough, like, some of my toughest games have came against Iowa, bro. We're a way better team than them. Like, literally, my sophomore year, my junior year, and my senior year, bro. Like, all three of my last, even my freshman year. My freshman year, because it was a tough game, too. Like, I don't know. For some reason, when we play Iowa, it is and I kind of think a little bit of it is we play the same style of ball,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, run the ball. We're not going to score that many points. So to see the changes that we've made to our offense and now what we're going to face is going to be interesting to see when we do play them. But, man, it's always been those games where it's like, bro, why is this game so tough? Like, bro, it's literally 14-14 in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left. Like, whoever makes the first mistake.
yeah.
No pick sixes.
No picks. That's the game you want the bye week after.
That's the game you want the bye week after.
You
want to
rest. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be some bumps and bruises.
Oh, for sure. Especially playing against them, man. Yeah. My sophomore year, I don't know. I hopefully we can get Mel on here to talk about that. But man, when I tell you they was teeing off on him that game,
We got to set that up. We got to try and get him on here.
We got to set that up for sure.
Because people wouldn't get the conversations that the players have. Like I remember Lily coming off the field like, Mel, bro. One more series, man. Please, just one more series. We just need one more series, fam. Uh-huh. And he dead looked me in my eyes, and I could see it. Like, I don't want to say it because Mel not the type to tap or anything, but like, you can see, like, man, they soldiers, they getting a hold of me. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be. I'm excited for the season moving ahead, but the bye week is so big. Like I said, it's finally a chance for us to work on some of these issues and. Some of the kinks that I think, you know, not only have we identified, but I'm sure the coaching staff has identified. And, you know, Coach Fickle and the staff look like they're the coaching staff to do it, right? Like, I'm very excited and interested to see, you know, how we're going to come off this bye week and then how we're going to play against Rutgers.
Yeah, for me, I think it's going to be great. You know, during bye weeks, you do a lot of self-scout, figure out what you do well, figure out, you know, what you're not doing great at. And I think it's going to be great for this passing game. Like I said, I think he'll get along with Tanner Mordecai, those receivers, and look at all the tape that what they've done. Like, see what routes work best for a certain coverage. See what guys run, you know, good return routes, run good in-breaking routes. What guys are better at the deep passes. All that type of thing. I think that's going to be very good. So I think the bye week is very good for this passing game. You're going to work against the defense, try and challenge the defense, build some confidence, go into the bye week, watch some college football, whatever it is, and come back ready to go against Rutgers. Like I said, it's going to be a very, very tough matchup. And I said, as the season goes along, man, we can look ahead at the schedule right now. We go to Rutgers. You know, Rutgers, I think that's going to be a tough football game. Iowa, going to be a tough football game.
Do Iowa come to us?
No, it's at Wisconsin. So that give us a little bit of advantage.
That home field advantage matters.
Yeah, crucial. Hey, fans, get to that game early.
Because it matters.
No third quarter walking in. It
definitely matters. Yeah.
Hopefully they make that a night game. That'd be fun.
That'd be nice. Early.
Then we go to Illinois, which they haven't been playing great ball so far. So, I mean, obviously every Big Ten game will be a tough matchup. Then we go to Ohio State. I'll just stop it at that. So these next 4 weeks, it's going to be – It's gonna be crucial.
And if you, like if you really think about it, right? Like Iowa is a must-win game. Obviously, it's a trophy game, and it's gonna always. It's all like that team and Minnesota is always in contention at the end of the year.
Yeah.
With us, getting to the Big Ten championship game, right? So like that's a must-win game, obviously. And then Illinois is gonna be coming with some noise, man.
They beat us last year, ain't it?
Especially for the fact that like. Obviously, Coach Bielma. There's a lot of guys on that staff that played at Wisconsin. That are from Wisconsin, played there, and made a. You know, you impose your will on the team.
On your alma mater,
on your alma mater, like so that, and then obviously the big one, Ohio State, right? We have like our schedule is prime for us to face top talent, and then hopefully put us in a good situation moving forward.
Yeah.
Positive too. Three of them next four games is home games too.
Yeah.
The only one that's not is Illinois.
Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Gotta take advantage of that 100%. Yep.
One thing I was a little bit shocked was we text about it during the game, right? When we ran a little trick play. I'm like, man, I hope Coach ain't pulling out his bag.
Waste them all. You know, got a lot of tricks in the bag, man.
Wait for that a couple weeks later. You know what I'm saying?
He just teasing it. That's all. Yeah, just
I'm sure he got
prepare for this. That's all.
For sure.
I'm sure he got
put
some
it on
stuff
tape,
in the bag.
Man. That's all it is. But that's a wrap for this week's episode of the Camp Randall Platoon podcast. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, tune in. Like I said, we're going to try and get Melvin Gordon on here.
We got to get him on here, man. That's a story for y'all.
Matchup, so.
That's a story for y'all. We got to get him on here for sure.
Got the bye week, and we catch y'all back up after the Rutgers game.